Continuing our series this morning on the children's stories of the Bible, we finally come to the conclusion of the series. Now, we've looked through the main stories that most children have learned and we knew since we were children, and we've come to the astounding conclusion that they are terribly wrong. However, in this last story, miraculously, the children's Bible does not often get this one wrong. It usually gets it perfectly right every time. This is the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and it goes something like this. Daniel liked praying to God in his room, and he was faithful. The king said that he was a god and that people should worship him for a period of 30 days, and those who didn't would be thrown into a den of lions. Daniel continued to pray, and people spied on him, and eventually he was captured and thrown into the lion's den, but God protected him. Eventually, the king glorified God and allowed people to worship the true God. So this is a wonderfully uplifting story about faith and trust and prayer. It's about being faithful towards God and God's faithfulness towards us. Daniel was a very faithful man. He was the type that could balance a job and hang out with the heathens, but keep his prayer life intact. He was the balanced individual that was faithful to God and to those around him. He was a holy man in an unholy place. He would do just what Jesus said. He went into his bedroom and would pray to God there in secret. Other people knew that he was Jewish, but they didn't know how observant he was. He didn't flaunt his faithfulness to God in front of everyone. He was quiet and humble. The king enjoyed his services in the temple, and he treated him very well. He was very good at what he did, and that caused some envy with the other workers. Eventually, they decided to spy on him. When they found out that he prayed at home, they got the king to outlaw praying to God. Daniel was caught and sentenced to death, much to the chagrin of the king, and thrown into this pit of hungry lions. However, God rewarded his faithfulness in the face of incredible odds. When the king came back the next day and finds Daniel alive, he is quite happy. And the only thing that the children's story leaves out is the conclusion to the story, about people getting ripped to pieces before they even hit the ground. The king has everyone recommended this new law killed, and glorifies God because he sees the power of God manifested in Daniel's life. Daniel's story starts with a very simple message on living as a faithful person of God: humility, devotion, and duty. Daniel knew that God was the only person that he was to pray to. He did it every day, three times in his room, and didn't tell anybody what he was doing. Now, he made it his promise to God every day to take that time out of his busy schedule with the king and spend some quality time with God in private. His actions were truly humble and devoted to God. He wasn't bragging to them about how much more holy he was than them or how unholy they were to their gods. He didn't stand in front of them reciting long verses or prayers. He was careful on how he conducted himself with others so as not to destroy his witness for God. God blessed Daniel in his life because of this faithful adherence to God's true wishes about our own personal conduct. Daniel was a role model for people who are living and working in a non-Christian environment, which is basically everyone. He was dearly devoted to his faith, even when it meant he could die. But he wasn't causing religious strife with others. He wasn't going around and yelling at other people for worshiping their gods. He quietly showed them the glory of God through his life and his actions. In fact, the only time when there was a clash between religions happened when other people spied on him and wanted to get him executed because of their own jealousy. His conduct during this time with them was so incredible that he was able to show his spirituality without constantly badgering them about legalistic rules or spiritual restraints. His life was enough to show everyone the faithfulness of his God. Daniel's story gives us an idea of the spiritual walk in an unspiritual world. It also shows us what true faith is. Consider a law being passed here in Canada that outlawed praying to God. This law would require that Stephen Harper was now our God for 30 days, and we should direct our prayers to him. Not only that, imagine that if we were caught not praying to Stephen Harper, we would be killed in a gruesome fashion. Would it be so easy for us to be faithful to God? Olympic gold medalist Daryl Pace was to give an archery exhibition in New York City's Central Park, and the event received coverage by all the news stations. Shooting steel-tipped hunting arrows, Pace punctured bullseyes without a miss. Then he called for a volunteer. All you have to do is hold this apple in your hand waist high. That's it. ABC correspondent Josh Howell took a bold step, and he stood there with a small apple in his hand, a larger one in his throat. Pace took aim from about 30 yards away, and as we all held our breath, a thwack was heard and the clean hit exploded the apple right out of his hand. Everybody applauded Howell, who was all smiles, until his cameraman approached him with a hangdog look. "I'm sorry, Josh," he said, "we didn't get it. I had a problem with my viewfinder. Could you do it again?" Testing the faithfulness and the trust of this news correspondent was not in his bag. Could we trust God like this? Could we trust God with our lives? Daniel trusted the word of God and continued his practices alone in his house. He knew that there was a risk in what he was doing. No doubt he could feel the tension between the other people who worked with him and in the courts of the king. Yet he still prayed to God. Now, with this fictitious law of praying to Stephen Harper, we might get away with it. I mean, we can pray in our heads whenever we want. It's not like they would notice us not praying to him. But Daniel was Jewish. So at the very least, he would go into his room with a big shawl with tassels on it and wrap it up over his head, and they have lots of movements when they pray. He did this 3 times a day. It was a big ritual. So his prayers were very overt. The spies could find him very easily, not praying to the king. His trust and fear of the living God brought him to a place where he relied fully on God to do with his life as God would see fit. He didn't care if people knew about his prayer life, because it was up to God to deal with the consequences of Daniel's faithfulness. One of my favorite writers, Andrew Murray, said that our faithfulness can be wrapped up in 2 sentences. I must do everything I can, in any way I can, as much as I can, for God through faithfulness. And when I have done everything humanly possible, God must do everything heavenly possible. Once we have fulfilled our own side of the faith bargain, doing what we can do for God, glorifying God in everything that we're doing for him, we can hand everything else over to God in pure conscience, knowing that it is up to him to complete the rest. We don't have to worry about anything so long as we are faithful to God. Daniel showed us what faithful living and trusting God is. And the final piece of the puzzle comes from God. Daniel in the lion's den ends with the story of God's faithfulness to humankind. Daniel had done everything in his life that could be asked of a faithful servant of God. He continued his duties to God, even when the circumstances dictated that it was too dangerous to continue. He had left everything in his life up to God after completing everything from his end. When Daniel was finally thrown into the den and the lions were crowding around him, God was able to manifest his glory and his power fully to all of the heathens that Daniel worked with. The lions' mouths were closed and he was able to survive the night. God protected his servant because of his faithfulness. Praying and living a holy life had landed Daniel in quite possibly the worst situation that I could think of, trapped in an enclosed space with feline man-eaters. Faced with such impossible odds, who wouldn't be a little shaken at the prospects of falling down into a hole with these lions? But as soon as he looked around, he could tell that the hand of God was on him and there would be no problem. Daniel's trust was finally rewarded by God in the most incredible way in this passage, stopping the predatory urges of wild animals. God's intervention wasn't just to save Daniel's life. It wasn't a reluctant, "Well, I guess he has been good and he has been faithful and he's been following my statutes, so I guess I'll save him this time." No, God had an opportunity to do something incredible. Not only was he able to save his servant's life, he was also able to display to everyone that would know him and see this event about his glory. He could glorify himself and show his power to the world. The king ran to the pit the next day and saw how Daniel's God had protected him. He saw the work of God manifested fully in Daniel's life. God took this situation and turned it into a community-wide affair. The king and all of his courts would hear of this story, and it would affect them all. So what does this story seek to get across to us? We are to emulate the humble spirit which Daniel had before everyone in the king's court. We aren't to flaunt our spirituality as something superior to others. We shouldn't be bragging about how much we pray, what we pray, or when we pray. Humility should be our key. Although George Whitefield disagreed with John Wesley on some theological matters, he was careful not to create problems in public that could influence the gospel. When someone asked Whitefield if he thought he would see Wesley in heaven, he replied, "I fear not, for he will be so near the eternal throne that we at such a distance that we shall hardly get sight of him." Whitefield didn't parade around his own spirituality. He didn't start destroying John Wesley's spirituality because it was a different mindset. He kept humble. He praised God. He didn't attempt to debase him or quote scripture on how he was wrong in these little points, try to inflate himself. Humility made Whitefield the man of God that he was. The witness of Christ stayed strong between John and Whitefield to the end of their lives. Daniel espoused this essence of the truly godly man. His life was devoted to God, even in his terrible circumstances. Our faith can also take a massive portion from Daniel's life. He was faithful to God in the worst times, as much as he was in the good times. Now, there was a story about a man who fell off a cliff, but managed to grab onto a tree root on his way down. And the following conversation ensued. "Is anyone up there?" he yelled. "I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me?" "Yes, Lord, I believe you, but I can't hang on much longer." "That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch." The man paused for a moment and said, "Is anyone else up there?" Our faith can be strong and we can really believe. But when God asks us to make that big step, will we have the faith to let go of the branch? Daniel let go of his life completely. Even when he knew that others would be seeking to destroy him, he knew that there would be people wandering around, and if they caught him, he would be in very big trouble. Sometimes we have to make brave decisions for God, and our trust is this necessity for us to do that. Finally, God's faithfulness was the clincher in Daniel's life. This is the part of the story where God shows his true character. God was with the Israelites in this very troubling time of belonging again like the slaves to the Babylonians. He chose to demonstrate his faithfulness to his people. Not only was his goodness shown through sparing Daniel and changing the heart of the king, but his vengeance was shown to those who worked against God. But that isn't even the full part. Most importantly, he showed what was to come. The culmination in our series ends with a great foreshadowing of Christ's coming. Daniel, truly representing God's chosen people, was cast into a place of danger. His life was at stake, and so were the lives of all the rest of the faithful who would not adhere to the law of the king. God redeems Daniel from certain death, and glory is given to the Most High. Well, if this isn't the most succinct paraphrase of the gospel, I don't know what is. We are in a sea of unrighteousness. We were sinners. God chose us while we were still sinners and loves us. He sent his own son to die on the cross for us. We were in the lion's pit of sin, and Christ redeemed us when he sacrificed himself on that cross for us. Our lives were made whole the minute of Christ's redemption. Just like Daniel, we were saved from certain death and brought into the chosen kingdom of God. Let us be faithful, trusting in God, knowing that he is good all of the time. When God is with us, who can be against us? Let us boldly face our problems, knowing that Christ has redeemed us and walks with us. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that your hand would be on all of us this week, that we would learn to be truly faithful to you, trusting you even with our lives like Daniel did in the lion's den, knowing that we can truly trust on you to be faithful towards us. I ask that you would be with everyone and that we would learn these things quickly so that we may enjoy our life with Christ. And I ask that you would come with power on us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.